Welcome in to Searching for San Antonio, part of the San Antonio Podcast Network. This series explores the Alamo City by showcasing small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and all of the wonderful people that make San Antonio what it is. Join us as we search for the true meaning of being a San Antonian. Before we get started, I want to say thank you to all of the loyal listeners who have been listening to the show for almost a year now. I also want to give a warm welcome to anyone checking out the show for the very first time. This week on Searching for San Antonio, Armin Babajanian, the current CEO at the World Affairs Council of San Antonio, joins the podcast to talk to me about his organization, how he got into this role, and why he is dedicated to bettering the community's understanding of world affairs. The mission of the World Affairs Council of San Antonio is to promote public understanding of world affairs and United States foreign policy. Their goal is to enhance the ability of citizens and future leaders to participate in a global community. For almost 40 years, they have executed this mission through lecture series, receptions, organizing discussion groups, educational outreach programs, and hosting sessions for young professionals. I'm eager to get to his interview, so we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with my conversation with Armin.
This is what we're made of, the businesses that line our streets and the customers that make them flourish. As a business owner, this is your community, your members, your regulars, your neighbors. Your business is unique. So are your customers. No matter who you need to reach, Spectrum Reach is here to help you connect with the right message on every screen. Visit SpectrumReach.com to connect with a local advertising expert. That's SpectrumReach.com.
Welcome back into this week's episode of Searching for San Antonio. I'm so happy Armin is joining me this week to talk about the World Affairs Council of San Antonio. Armin Babajanian currently serves as the Chief Executive Officer of the World Affairs Council here in San Antonio. He was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, and graduated from UCLA with a bachelor's degree in political science and developmental psychology. He completed his master's in political science from UTSA here in San Antonio. Before becoming the CEO at the World Affairs Council of San Antonio, he worked for Big Brothers Big Sisters for nearly two decades. So without further ado, here's my interview with Armin Babajanian. So Armin, welcome into the show. I'm really glad to have you here on Searching for San Antonio. I guess start us off with telling the listeners a little bit about your backstory and how you got to this point.
Thank you, Zachary, for having me on. I've listened to some episodes before, and I think what you're doing is very important, very topical, and I just hope you get more viewers to tune in. And also, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you're coming up on your 1 year of broadcasting and of the podcast, so congratulations on that. So the way I got to the World Affairs Council is like anything else in life, you know, things start falling down like a domino, and one thing leads to another. And I had been to some events that the World Affairs Council had organized in previous years. I enjoy them. International relations was something that I focused on in my master's program and also in my undergraduate program. I had some sort of affinity for it. And when the opportunity came up, I'd been with Big Brothers Big Sisters for 18 years in four different markets, and I wanted to get out of my comfort zone. And let me tell you, I got out of my comfort zone. You know, all good, but nevertheless, it's a great place to develop personally and professionally. And that was roughly almost similar to your anniversary. I started 2 years ago in June, and it's been a blast.
So you come from Big Brothers Big Sisters, so you know Hugh then.
I do. In fact, we go way back to his days of working for the another nonprofit that he worked for, and we had mutual friends. And he did a bike ride, and I went through a phase of doing a lot of rides for the MS 150 and the diabetes and whatnot. And so the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, which he ran, did a bike ride on the south side, and I got to know him more. And the next thing you know, we hired him, and that was the best decision we made, is to get him on board. And if you know Hawthorne Hugh Farr, he's not your typical development person, and that's a huge compliment to him. And he's a great guy and a very good and active contributor to our community.
And listeners, if you're wondering who I was bringing up, Hugh Farr. Of course, we interviewed him on the podcast a few episodes back. So it's great to know that you two know each other. Hugh is obviously a great guy, does a lot of work out in the community. You mentioned some of your schooling. Where did you end up going to school? Or are you from San Antonio originally?
So I was born and raised in Southern California, immigrant parents, you know, typical immigrant story of having nothing, just maybe $200 in your pocket and starting new. And we landed in Los Angeles, and I was born a few months later. I had most of my childhood in Southern California. We moved around a lot during my high school years because of my dad's job. And then I went back to college at UCLA. This was in the early 90s or mid 90s. When I graduated in 1999, I majored in political science and developmental psychology, and I was trying to figure things out. My family was in Houston at the time, so I moved to Houston and try to figure life out. I love Texas. I've made it my home. San Antonio's home now, and I couldn't think of a better place.
Tell the listeners a little bit more about the World Affairs Council, because the one here in San Antonio isn't the only one, right? There's different World Affairs Councils in different cities from what it looks like.
That's right. That's right. The World Affairs Councils started nationally over 100 years ago, and there are affiliates all across the country. We have 90 affiliates. The San Antonio affiliate began in 1982. There were a community of leaders, visionary leaders, who came together and noticed that there are certain things missing, and there was an international component missing. And so they got together and they formed the World Affairs Council of San Antonio in 1982.
Tell us a little bit more about the reason it was created and the purpose that it serves, the mission that the World Affairs Council is trying to accomplish.
The easiest way to share what the World Affairs Council does is we bring the world to San Antonio and take San Antonio to the world. And we do that by putting on programs that include government leaders, nonprofit leaders, former ambassadors, current ambassadors, honorary consuls, people who live and breathe international affairs or are directly or indirectly working or volunteering in some way that impacts our global community. And the reason that the organization's mission and why the organizations are so successful around the country, particularly nowadays, is that a lot of us don't know what really happens around the world. We see things that are happening when there are conflicts. We see things that are happening in some of the countries where we have conflicts with. But a lot of times people don't know a whole lot about simple, you know, not to mention political leaders or government officials, but the language is spoken. And so we thrive on the digital media more so during the pandemic now, but we don't have that 3D version of someone from Somalia or someone from South Africa or someone from Pakistan or Iraq or Mexico or South America. So we provide that 3D version of people who are influencing and influencers of in those areas and in those countries. And what that does is significant, particularly with our youth, because it not only informs and allows people to become more aware, but it also creates empathy for those who are experiencing negative things in their respective countries and the things that they're dealing with, sometimes very similar to what we're dealing with on different scales. So the organization is such an important part of our community, and it has been. And those people who came together in the early 80s to put this together thought ahead that this is the kind of thing that in order to be a top city, you know, we brag about being the seventh largest city, is to also be informed about what else is happening, not only here, but also around the world.
How do you guys, or do you guys, partner up with organizations around the world in different countries? Are there maybe other countries' governments that you are in communication with?
Yes, absolutely. And we're always on the lookout to partner more. There are a few things that happen, Zachary, is that there are some institutions or entities or think tanks that approach us. And then we also proactively reach out depending on our relationships. You know, we are so rich. Sometimes we don't even have to look outside of San Antonio for the experts and the strategists. We have a rich volume of people who are former ambassadors who live right here in San Antonio, who may be teaching, who may be retired, some who are part of honorary consuls. You know, a lot of people don't know, we have the honorary consul to Namibia and to Belgium. We have the Mexican consul right here in San Antonio. We do partner with government institutions to put on the programs. We also partner with organizations, the United Nations, some think tanks that are around the world as well, in order to provide that programming. So we're always on the lookout for partnerships, both locally and globally.
Part of the mission that I read here of the World Affairs Council here in San Antonio is to promote the public understanding. That's straight from the mission statement. And so how do you do so? How are you promoting it? Is it events? Is it presentations? Are you going out to maybe schools or local businesses and reaching out to them? How are you promoting that public understanding of everything going on in the world?
Yeah, it's a combination of all the items you mentioned. If people go on our YouTube, they'll see in 2020, we went virtual like a lot of other organizations and companies, and we were actually able to increase the number of programming that we had just because it was easier to tune in a guest from around the world. We had people from Ghana and Iraq and Lebanon. It became easier for us to share our platform with others on social media and via Zoom. And so what we typically do is we're facilitating programs by putting on a panel of three or four or five people. We have a guest speaker, or we have a fireside chat. We rarely have just one person getting up to speak, but even if we do that, we try to have that so that it's engaging and that there's some input from the viewers, particularly with questions, because that is where the crux of it is. Because a lot of us, however much we try, there are some biases involved, and so it's good to get the involvement of the community and our supporters to ask tough questions and see what their responses are. So the formatting, typically in person, which we're about to go back to and do more of a hybrid of programming, it are panels, fireside chats, and small gatherings so that the supporters could get a real feel of the person's experiences, their expertise and skill sets from their respective countries.
Now, of course, you're made up of board members, but can people join? Can people be members of the World Affairs Council?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're very flexible. We are actually looking at our membership scale to revamp it, particularly with our hybrid programming. But it could be as low as $35 a year to be a member. And that gives you access to programming throughout the year. And of course, we have corporate memberships and other levels of memberships where you get the information first and books and you know, things like that. But absolutely, people who are interested in learning more about it can contact us. And if they want to, you know, check out a few programs before committing to a membership, we'd be happy to share those programs with them as well.
And there's internship opportunities for maybe some young professionals or young adults?
Yes, there are internship opportunities. In fact, we're so proud. Our current intern, Isabella, she just got accepted to study at Oxford which was not good for us because she's leaving, but we are replacing her with someone else who studies at Texas State. We always get high school students and college students. We just learned of the program that the city of San Antonio is doing. It's part of their ambassador program for college students where they get paid, which it's a nice little, a well-known secret, I guess you could say, that I wasn't aware of, that we will fully take advantage of, where the city will provide funding for an 8-week internship program. So we absolutely look at it. We're not a large organization. I would love to accept all the interns, but we do accept them on a rolling basis.
Well, and speaking of the city, that actually kind of leads me into another question that I thought of, which is, are you guys partnering up, on a routine basis with the city? Do you kind of have that partnership built with them? And if so, how are you working with the city aside from that program that you just talked about?
Yeah, there are so many, you talk about visionaries, and a lot of the stuff you hear in the social media and media circles are usually things when things are negative or things that are bad that are happening. And so you have some really true visionaries who are working. For example, Sherry Dohlat-Shahi, who is not only on our board, but she is the chief diplomacy officer for the city of San Antonio. She has so much knowledge about diplomacy and interacting with different foreign leaders and customs and cultures. She has a wealth of her and her team at the City Global Engagement Office have so much knowledge and information about the countries that we deal with. So we do partner with the Global Engagement Office to promote programs. We utilize them. They have several contacts, and we're always looking for ways to partner with them. And frankly, with any organization or entity that has an international mind frame, including for-profit businesses, we have so many businesses locally that are interested in doing business abroad in various countries. And kudos to the San Antonio Economic Development Foundation, Jenna and her team who are actively looking at that. And we're always looking for partners like the city of San Antonio. Bexar County is another good partner.
Do you feel like the World Affairs Council here in San Antonio has a little bit of an easier job just because San Antonio is so diverse? Our culture here is just so unique to a lot of other large cities. You have cities like New York or Chicago or LA that have a lot of cultures inside them, but there's other large cities around the country that don't. Would you say that being here in San Antonio, that you see that?
I see it. I see it. And I think the people who are involved in the international arena see it. I don't know if the majority of San Antonians see it. They might. I mean, you have Asian businesses, you have Indian businesses, and I don't know. And, I'm Armenian, and, we have a small community of Armenians here that I think a lot of people don't know. So I think there are some of those communities are in silos, but they're starting to come out. You look at something like the Raindrop Foundation, which is an organization that does so much in the community as far as service is concerned. And, their foundations are from Turkey, and they are able to not only practice their culture and what they typically do, but they also volunteer at the food bank, and they collect clothes to donate to Goodwill and are actively involved in the community. So to answer your question, I think there is a lot out there. It just depends on who you ask and what type of business or nonprofit or hobbies that people are interested in. Clearly, there's Mexico is our neighbor, so people are very aware of that. But there are so many other smaller ethnic groups that are here that I don't think people are aware of. And we try to reach out to those communities, not only because there's news there, but also because we want to give them a platform to share their experiences culturally, politically, and government.
I know you haven't been with the World Affairs Council since its inception, but you've been there a little while. And how do you think it's changed people's perceptions and maybe biases and stereotypes, at least here in San Antonio? You know, it's coming up on, what, 40 years that the World Affairs Council here has been here in San Antonio. How do you think it's helped?
That's a very good question. From what I understand, the World Affairs Council has been the best kept secret in town. There are some individuals who attend the programming, but what we try to do and what I observed and we have done in the past 2 years and we're looking to do more of is to diversify our audience and our board and our membership and our programming. And so I think what the World Affairs Council has done is really put the organization on the map. We have an annual event called the International Citizen of the Year. We first honored General McDermott, and since then, we've honored so many local leaders and also global speakers who have come to San Antonio that has made the organization relevant. But when I came on board, I wanted to have more of a grassroots plan to incorporate some of the individuals starting young, starting in high school and college, to really start engaging the students and the youth so that we're not playing catch up with the adults, you know, a decade from now, about some of the basics of understanding international affairs. And sometimes you don't have to know the capital of a certain country, but it'd be good to know, you know, something about a leader or their culture or their religion, or at the very least not have judgments about them that are not correct. So I think what we have done is made a dent in the community knowing what international affairs is all about. And I think what our vision is to really heighten that, to include more people, but to start much earlier with our youth, to diversify and to make sure that there is measurable impact when we do these programs. Those are all things that we're looking at. And, you know, we're asking all the questions now. And I think by doing that, we're starting to look at some of the answers and also including a lot of the local visionary leaders on our committees and in our board and in our programming. There's a lot that the council has done, but I think particularly with the pandemic and what happened with the pandemic, it really allowed us to reach out to an audience that we never had. And, you know, we stream the programs on social media now. So it allows access to people all over the world. And I think by doing that, you're going to be more inclusive of people.
And I think the job of the World Affairs Council has become a little more difficult, at least the way I perceive it. And in addition to that, I think the job has become more important, or I should say the mission has become more important, especially in recent years. I think in a lot of countries, and you could argue including our own, that you've seen a growing sense of nationalism. You know, it's okay to be proud of where you're from, and it's, in my opinion, and it's okay to be proud of your country in different ways. But at the same time, I think it's also important for people to understand and come to the conclusion that, you know, we all live in the same world. and we may live in different countries, and we may have different cultures and different ways of doing things. But understanding, you know, that we are all humans and we can also help each other. And I think to get to that point, you have to understand the cultures and you have to understand how these people interact. If they're not like your family, or they don't look like you or sound like you, they're people too. You know, coming together for a common cause globally, I think is a good thing. And I think you see some arguments against that. You see the term globalism being used sometimes negatively. But I think that the job of for you and the World Affairs Council has become increasingly important, at least in my opinion.
You know, Zachary, you hit it on the nail about the differences across the globe and all the things that unify us. When I lived in Poland, you couldn't have a more different culture and country compared to the U.S. At the end of the day, though, once I was established there and interacted with the local community there and the people who wanted to get their kids involved in our program, the people who were volunteering with the international businesses, they go through very similar things that you and I do. I think I knew that, but to see that the families who, you know, you have a lot of single parents who are trying to make ends meet, who could care less who's at the at the head of the realm of the government, they want to feed their kids. They want good jobs. They want not only good jobs, they want to have jobs where they're not just trying to pay the rent and put food on the table. And it puts things in perspective when you find that out, that the rest of the world is looking for similar things. It was a really eye-opening experience for me as I traveled through Europe and living in Poland to really see, to touch and feel the community there that is speaks a language that is, I don't know if you've ever heard Polish or if you've seen it written, it is one difficult language. And I speak, you know, I speak Armenian and English and dabble in Spanish a little bit, but Polish is a hard language. Even with those differences, though, they're trying to do the same thing you and I are. And you remove all the politics and all the craziness up at top. You have people who are genuine and who are loving people, generally speaking, and who want to do good and want to serve in the community. So I think what you just said is indicative of not only the times we live now, but more so in the future as well. So thank you for bringing that up.
Are there World Affairs Councils popping up in different cities today? Like, is it an organization that is expanding?
It's kind of at a standstill. You know, being in 90 communities, there's pretty much a World Affairs Council in every single city you could think of. It hasn't grown, but it hasn't reduced either. What has happened because of the pandemic and some of the organizations have had financial difficulties is that they have become volunteer driven. Some of my colleagues, for example, in smaller communities in California, even in Texas, they don't have a paid staff and it's volunteer driven. There are some other councils that they have changed names. So our national office isn't very strict about your logos or your names. So our friends in Kansas City, for example, their name is the International Relations Council. No language about world affairs, but they're one of our affiliates. And so you have a little bit more of that just because of their strategic vision of how to attract more people. And so they change their names but they do the same thing.
Well, and the reason I ask is because kind of going back to my argument that the World Affairs Council plays a pretty large role, especially nowadays, at least I would think so. I feel like there's a ways to go, you know, and I think that it's important that this mission of yours, you know, is expanded to not only multiple cities. I know you mentioned you're in 90 different communities, but also towns as well. You know, in cities, you may not see issues as much in urban cores, but I think it just largely, you know, around the country, I mean, there's still places you can go where if they see the last name Babajanian or the last name Espericueta, they already have built up these stereotypes in their heads, how that person may look or sound. And especially if you're talking about a young adult, that may affect, you know, a job application. And of course, you don't want that to happen, especially because, you know, the United States is supposed to be a place of just a huge melting pot.
You're absolutely right. A good example would be, you know, I lived in Kerrville for 6 years. If you know the demographics of Kerrville, which is just an hour west, northwest of San Antonio, politically and culturally, very different. And I encountered some of that moving there in back in 2003. And I was going to stay only 2 years, mainly because of that. But it's a two-way street. You know, if there's a concern about a community that is not, that doesn't know a whole lot about international affairs or is not accustomed to names like last names like ours, it's also, it's in their court to realize that and find out, you know, who are these individuals and what backgrounds do they have. But it's also on us to share with them who we are. And when I did that in Kerrville, I was warmly accepted. And I made lifelong friends with people who totally disagree with me, but they found out, you know, what an Armenian is. They found out about what the Armenian genocide is about. They find out, you know, what my last name, why is it so different? Not knowing that information, you have so many judgments. And I think you are so right. If we had all the funding in the world, you know, we would, San Antonio, we cover San Antonio, but we don't do programming in Comfort or Fredericksburg, Uvalde, even Laredo. We don't have an office in Laredo. So I think you're on right on point, almost electing yourself as one of our ambassadors to help us spread the news, because you hit a, you know, you look at the needs. You bring up a very good point of some of the cities that don't have the World Affairs Council and how that's a detriment to them and to the youth. So I think you're totally right about that. And it's really, the burden is on us, the community, the funders, to really seek those areas out, to make them understand what we do globally, and sometimes even what we do locally and the people involved locally. So it's a very, very valid point. And I appreciate you again for bringing that up.
You mentioned earlier volunteer work. It leads me into my next question. How else can people help with the World Affairs Council? Can they volunteer their time? Can they donate money? How else can people here in San Antonio help?
Yeah, absolutely. Donating money is something that I think every nonprofit is going to, or for-profit for that matter. Donating money is a gift that we very much appreciate and value. We are not able to do what we do without the support from the community and the foundations and the companies. We also have opportunities to volunteer when we do have in-person events. You know, there is volunteer work that is needed at those events. Also committees. We've got a vibrant young professionals committee that has been around for a while, but we are more proactive, and they are not only doing things for themselves, for like going on a hike, but they're also looking at doing programming about race and getting the LGBTQ plus community involved. Things that we really haven't done, but definitely has a global impact. Sometimes we just need ideas, Zachary. Sometimes we're doing things every day and programming, and we miss the mark on bringing attention to programs and subjects that are very important for human trafficking. So we haven't done a program on human trafficking in probably 2 years, something that's very important to our local area, but also something that has global impact. I think sometimes just joining us or watching a program and giving us feedback of how we can improve. We're always evolving, and the pandemic forced us to evolve into a platform that was very helpful to bring in more diversity. But we're always looking for people to give us their opinions, whether they're good or bad. We appreciate all those. So committee work, board work, programs, becoming a member, donating, partnering with us. If there are organizations that want to partner with us, we're always open to that. Sometimes it's just not a financial partnership, but it's a opportunity to a promoting sponsor or sponsors who just promote our events. So we're always active and openly looking for those kinds of opportunities.
What do you enjoy about living here in San Antonio?
You know, we're always touting we're the seventh largest city. We have a pretty good climate here and now, we do. if we're not getting flooded or we're not burning because of the heat, I think what it comes down to, and I don't know if San Antonio's unique in this respect, but I think it's more unique. I also lived in Houston, so I could compare it. And I also lived in LA and I lived in Brooklyn and Oklahoma and overseas. I think, you know, when I was coming back from Poland, I was thinking about moving somewhere else. And my family's on the West Coast. I loved visiting DC and the advocacy work, the potential advocacy work in DC. And when I came back to San Antonio to visit, it just felt right. And I think the reason for that is the people. It's the people like Hawthorne who connect me to you. It is people like you who interview a variety of people in the for-profit, nonprofit, and also bring in mom. You know, it's real. It's genuine. I think San Antonio, I say this I would say this with almost every community, but specifically San Antonio, make sure you return an email or a phone call because you're going to run into that person you're trying to avoid. And that's not a positive thing, but the positive thing is that there's so much connection amongst the community leaders and the business leaders and the nonprofit leaders, and they're always looking to heighten our ability to be more of service to the community. You know, I'm also I'm in the Rotary Club, and the number of people who come out to support the food bank, to support Haven for Hope, or any of those kind of social matters. You know, the murals that were done by Lionel Sosa, the community comes together. The community knows each other. They're open to accepting more people. They're visionaries. And I think at the end of the day, it's the genuineness of people. And that's what keeps me here is the old guard, you could say, but more so the young professionals who sometimes go and get their education somewhere else and come back to serve. I mean, that says a whole lot, you know. I don't see moving away from San Antonio, and I think if I do, I'd end up back here. There's so much commonality, you know, just little things that where we get each other. I mean, who else goes around honking in the streets and does it peacefully and does a good job at that?
Only San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, you look at leaders, you look at our government leaders on so many sides of the aisle that are genuinely interested. You look at the vision of SA 2020, what that was over 10 years ago when that started. And I was lucky enough to be part of the beginning stages of that process of forming SA 2020 and the vision associated with that, with the leadership, that says something. And I think that's what it comes down to, Zachary, is that human connection that all of us are looking for.
How do you want to be remembered here in San Antonio, whether through the organization or just yourself in your own professional career?
What's that saying about people don't remember you by things that you've given them or but how you made them feel? If I were remembered by helping to try to get people to talk to one another, to empathize with each other and listen. If I have helped to make a dent in that, you know, I've spoken most of this program, but a lot of times learning is by listening and observing. If more people could do that, I think we would be in a better place. When I lived in Poland, it forced me to do that. I didn't know Polish. And people around me were always talking in Polish or other languages. And it forced me to sit back because I didn't speak. So I observed a lot of body language, and it made me really reflect on taking things in rather than speaking. And I think if I could help to do that, particularly planting those seeds with our youth, each person like yourself, you're making an impact. You've made an impact on me. I don't know what else you've done outside of the podcast, but I'm certain you've made an impact on others in addition to the guests you've had. Each of us are capable of making an impact. And sometimes I think we forget that. And I think we forget sometimes the negative impact that we can provide by the language we use, by not empathizing with people and judging people. Having said all that, I think if I could help to put a dent in having people listen more, empathize more, speak less, be involved more, then I think I'd be happy with that.
Before I let you go here, I know we're getting close to our time limit. Go ahead and give the listeners where we can find you, where we can find the World Affairs Council of San Antonio, maybe the website, some social media sites, things like that.
Our website is wacofsa.org, and you could find social media wise on, we're on pretty much every platform. World Affairs Council of San Antonio. If you go to the website, the links are all there. We're pretty active. I've got a great team that work with me, both interns and my program specialist, Samantha Scorey, who does great work in the logistics and our programmings and our marketing, as well as our interns and our forthcoming interns. We're always looking to share other nonprofits and other for-profits information as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be about international relations, but if there's something that's important, like Ciclovia or something the food bank is doing, we'd be happy to promote those events. Go to our website, and you could also reach out to us for any programming ideas. If there's something that you think we're missing out on, please let me know. And kudos to you again, for Zachary, for having this platform for not only me, but for those who came before and after me. When you were speaking just a few minutes ago, I was reminded of the late Randy Langford. I don't know if you know, he founded BearFest. That organization took high school students who were interested in media and video production and taught them to do their own videos. And they provided that service for free to nonprofits. And when I met with students at Jefferson High School and Lanier High School, it was amazing to see the confidence that they had and the abilities and skill sets they had. And Randy Langford, who passed away recently, you know, he was very humble about it. And there's so many of those kind of people like Randy, like yourself, like so many of the nonprofit leaders that I think need this medium so that people know about it. Like the World Affairs Council, they need to know all the good things that are happening in San Antonio. And thank you for bringing that to our attention and for that platform.
Well, Armin, I appreciate you joining me on the podcast here on Searching for San Antonio. I think that everything that you spoke about and the insight that you provided is, like I mentioned multiple times, very vital to the community and very vital to the listeners. I think what you guys are doing at the World Affairs Council of San Antonio is a great mission.
Zachary, thank you so much for having me and for allowing us the opportunity to share what the World Affairs Council does and how people could get involved. It's not only your treasure, but also your time and of getting involved with the World Affairs Council. If anything that I've said and we've discussed today piques your interest, please reach out and learn more about the World Affairs Council. And I appreciate you for having me on.
Thank you again, Armin. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to give my recap on today's interview. Hey guys, it's Zach. As some of you may know, I help people plan for retirement. And as your advisor, I can not only show you how money truly works, but put you in control of your money today and in retirement. If you'd like to schedule a financial review, give me a call at 210-760-0409. Welcome back to Searching for San Antonio. I want to thank Armin for joining me on the podcast this week. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I really learned a lot about this organization. I had heard of it before, but didn't truly know the mission. Be sure to check out the World Affairs Council of San Antonio at wacofsa.org. That's wacofsa.org. And follow them at World Affairs SA on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. But that's going to do it for another episode of Searching for San Antonio, part of the San Antonio Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in to another show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't done so already, please give the podcast a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps the show grow and, more importantly, gets these wonderful San Antonio voices out there. As always, if you want to keep up with the show and our other series, SA Talk, please give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SA Pod Network. If you have questions about advertising or partnering up with the podcast, please reach out to my email, Zachary, that's Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, at sapodnetwork.com, or you can always find my email at our link in bio on social media. You can also find our sponsorship pricing and packaging at our link in bio as well. The podcast is currently accepting new sponsors, so be sure to get your ad on the show before spaces run out. If you want to help support the podcast, you can find our Cash App link in that same link in bio on our social media sites. Thanks again for all of your support. I appreciate all of you. Have a wonderful week, and Viva San Antonio.